Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
I'm fascinated by the story called the Fire Festival of Camps. There were a bunch of camps that were closed after 6 days in New Hampshire. This camp, it's Camp Quinebarge? Quinebarge? Q-U-I-N-E barge? Yeah, okay. Parents paid $3,400 for a 2 week stay. $3,400 for 2 weeks at this camp. So I'm thinking you're going to get an air conditioned yurt and, you know, it's like, it's going to be like glamping. It's not camping. It's glamping. That's what it's going to be like. So I'm looking at this $3,400 for 2 weeks and they're calling it the Fire Festival of Camps. Well, I could have told you right from the get go, looking at the picture of one of the executive directors who's wearing, what is it, a hemp and bead necklace? I could have told you this from the get-go. So everyone says, like one camper wrote their parents and said, we are in tears. The camp director's lying to you. You have to trust us. You have to. We are not joking and we are not having fun. So many things are wrong with this place. So apparently there was vomiting, fist fights, unsanitary meals. Oh, and by vomiting, I mean mass vomiting. And unsanitary meals, fist fights, all kinds of stuff, total chaos, cats and dogs living together, and it's the Fire Festival of Camps. So apparently they didn't even have enough staffers. They were begging for staff people right before camper. I am fascinated by this because how are you? Can I ask, how as a parent, you're just like, okay, I'm just going to drop my kid off. Because my kids have gone to camp before, and I'm like right there investigating everything. I know exactly how many staff you have, all of it. Anybody who comes in contact with my kid, I'm like, I need their name because I'm going to run a background check. I'm not even joking to you. I do this. So I don't know. Apparently, kids got served mostly raw meatballs.
What?
For real, man. And I was reading this, and I'm like, this is socialism. This is the kids are living out what Democrats promise. Right, isn't it? It's the Democrat Party's promises are one giant ad for a fire festival of sorts, right? Man alive. Yeah, they said that one kid said he was hit in the head by another kid with a giant wooden block. They had no broken dish. They had a broken dishwasher. And I mean, I guess no one's heard of paper plates, but they gave dirty dishes to kids at mealtime. You can't send somebody out to Walmart down the street to go pick you up some paper plates? Really? I mean, what the hell is wrong with some of these people? And they said that they were, so that meant that meals, which I guess consist of mostly raw meatballs, had to be given to kids on dirty dishes because nobody had ever heard of paper plates. And then they said that then they had apparently like a bunch of quarantine people. And then the trans counselors said they did not feel comfortable at the LGBT friendly camp because some of the kids, apparently the little bitty ones, apparently were confused as to what the hell was going on. I can't, y'all. You can't even make this stuff up. So anyway, apparently, I guess they shut it all down. I don't know. Why is this not a movie? This is like The Great Outdoors with John Candy, but more messed up, right? Oh my gosh. I don't know.
This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
The Cleveland Indians are changing their team name to the Guardians. And are you mad over this? Is everybody mad over this? I don't know.
I'm confused over it.
So they're the Guardians. And that's after everybody was arguing over woke stuff because, I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about this here coming up. But apparently the organization revealed a name change with a 2-minute, 11-second video on Twitter narrated by Tom Hanks. And so... so that's the new, we'll talk about it there coming up, but that's the new change. Apparently, you know, systemic racism. LeBron James is the first player in NBA history to make $1 billion while still playing. If you're, can I be real? Like, if I'm out there, if I'm LeBron James and I'm playing basketball and I'm making $1 billion, I just don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I wanted to literally light the court on fire, I could. That's, he's got blank you money. You know what I'm saying? This is why I wish he wasn't trying to defend the Communist Party of China so hard. It's like, you've made all your money with capitalism. Why do you got to sit here and work with the communists over in Beijing? Why? So, but yeah, I just, it's like, at what, I mean, he must really love, I mean, he obviously really loves the game, but fascinating. All right, so this was interesting too. There was a coalition of New York public defender groups. They filed an amicus brief urging the Supreme Court to strike down the state's strict limitations on concealed carry as a violation of the Second Amendment. It is a brief brought on by Black Attorneys of Legal Aid, Bronx Defenders, Brooklyn Defender Services. Oh my gosh, the petitioners and the groups that are involved in this, as well as what is in the table of contents in the brief, is pretty amazing. And it's making a lot of anti-gun advocates very, very nervous because of all of, well, because frankly, the genuine diversity of everybody who signed on to this. As we have this discussion about the masking and everything else, I have to share this story with you. I saw it from New York Post's, one of the columnists over at the New York Post, Carol Markowitz. I'm just going to read this quote. It's like three sentences. Here we go. Kim Prather, who works at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, told the Los Angeles Times that the beach could be one of the most dangerous places in California amid the outbreak. She said she fears the virus is being washed into the ocean and transferred back into the air along the coast. Quote, I wouldn't go in the water if you paid me $1 million right now, she told the newspaper. Wow. Because sigh. She works at some institution of oceanography. Do you remember the a year ago at KTLA? That's when they arrested a paddleboarder at the Malibu Pier. Do you remember that whole story? They arrested, I will never forget that. That and the priest who was squirting holy water on a baby during a baptism are my two favorite out of the lockdown. Those are my two favorites. That actually happened. But there was the guy who was a paddleboarder. He kept running away from the National Guard that showed up to apparently arrest him. Oh my gosh, this is the craziest thing. It was the craziest thing. Yeah, they say he was arrested at the Malibu Pier because he ignored the fact that they had closed the ocean. Because science. Super important science. Wow. Yeah, that was KTLA that had that story. My gosh. All right, so I don't know how much any of this is based on science anymore. Just leave me alone and let me do my thing. Everything's ridiculous. Also ridiculous. A friend of mine said they thought Cleveland was the offensive term. Stop it. Stop. He's so mean. The Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians. Okay. And the president, former President Donald Trump, issued a statement saying, quote, can anybody believe that the Cleveland Indians, a storied and cherished baseball franchise since taking the name in 1915, are changing their name? Such a disgrace. So, is it the Cleveland Guardians? What's a guardian? I don't know. Right?
I'm just wondering if Indians were actually offended by this in large numbers, or if it's just people being offended for Indians on this.
That's like a favorite white progressive pastime. But just like imagine it in this way. You have people who are thinking of a mascot for their sports team, and they're debating amongst themselves, what is the most badass, toughest, most honored, revered thing that we can think of that we would like to aspire to, that we can have as our mascot? Because no one's going to pick anything stupid. No one's going to pick like Big Bird. Okay. There's not going to be like a Big Bird mascot. No one's going to pick a snail. No one cares. No one finds that tough or scary unbelievably adoringly honor. I don't know. They don't think it's cool and awesome or tough. People don't insult themselves by selecting something that sucks as a mascot. They wanted something that was tough, something that was revered, something that inspires respect and also lets you know that they're there to win. And it's just every mascot. I know we talked about this a couple of years ago because there are some dumb mascots out there. Like, nobody's going to, does somebody have the Ducks? I'm not talking about Mighty Ducks. Like, the sure. Duck mascot?
There's like a banana slug.
Yeah, we talked about that. I'm sorry. It's a dumb mascot.
The fighting artichoke.
It's dumb. Dumb. Yeah, stupid. Stupid. Dumb. What's your mascot? Stuffed artichoke. It's delicious. Wait.
The fighting pickle.
No one goes, what are we gonna have as our mascot, guys? How about a duck? Or, I mean, I could be persuaded with geese because geese are jerks. They really are. Geese are total jerks. I don't know how many kids I've seen chased down just, you know, outside in nature by geese. They're jerks. But no one goes, well, what are we going to have? I mean, I'm just trying to think of other goofy. Fruit fly. We're the fruit flies. Nobody thinks that nobody's going to pick that as a mascot. I just don't know what a guardian is. The guardians. How is that represented in mascot form? It's the guardians. Okay, great. Does it sound? It's too vague. It's too vague. You know what, though? How about this? Why don't we have? Are you looking something up? What are you looking up?
I'm taking a photo of this to send you.
Oh no! What did you find? I need to know.
I'm not going to say it.
Hmm.
But I'm going to send it.
Okay, I'm waiting for it. So I saw. If I was going to do a sports team, I think at this point I'm either going to have monkeypox as my mascot or the deadly superbug fungus, which apparently is now afflicting Texas. Both of these are doing this. I had to look up what monkeypox was. And so now, let me pull this up. So now apparently we are looking at a untreatable deadly superbug fungus outbreak reported at a couple of different hospitals in Dallas. This is, and I don't know, I don't understand why this is, why we're having this, why are we having these problems?
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
You know, we got a lot of Florida man stories and everybody talks about it, but honestly, these people seem sane. All the people in my Florida man stories, these people totally seem sane. Way more than some of these other folks.
Right. This segment used to be an escape from the regular news.
Now it's like we're running to it now. Right. We're like, save us. Save us. Like, DC is way worse. Okay, we need to go into Florida man, because I got something good for you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is from The Sun. A homeless man was arrested because he set fire to his underwear at a Starbucks in Tallahassee. And the staff went in to the restroom after The cafe began to fill with smoke. They found a pair of burning britches on the floor. The 58-year-old man, a Randy Sullivan, had been charged with a count of arson. The witnesses said that the guy went in the bathroom and he was there for a really long time. And another witness said they walked into the restroom where he, while he was in there, and they saw feces on the floor, which, So the employees alerted police officers that were outside in the car park. They found a lighter in Sullivan's pocket. He was later transferred to jail. That sounds awful. Did he set his underwear on fire because he blanked himself or like what? I don't know. Okay, so do you guys remember, we had this story for you. Let me pull this up. This was just last week. The guy who was trying to teach an alligator a lesson by swinging it around by its tail. Yeah, well, there's a development. Yeah. So there's a Florida man who stole an alligator. This is Daytona Beach Shores, Florida. He stole an alligator from a miniature golf course and threw it around by its tail, threw it into the air. And when he got in trouble with the police, he said that he was teaching it a lesson. And so that's when they pulled up and they saw this guy who identified as William Hodge trying to throw a live gator onto the roof of a building. And so they took the guy to jail, right? And so he was taken to the public safety department. This is the development. And then he tried to flood the holding cell because he balled up toilet paper to clog the toilet bowl and drain all over the floor. And then police said that Hodge threatened to flood the entire facility. So he's now facing that's a threat. Like, what do you think? So he's now facing charges of animal cruelty, possessing or injuring an alligator, unarmed burglary, and criminal mischief. So all of these are
property damage, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine too. I don't know what injuries the gator suffered, if any. It was returned to the Congo River Golf Course. So, oh my gosh. Then I have, So there's a Florida man that was engaging in cheating romantical times who was beaten in his front yard by his mother, sister, and grandmother. And it's quite graphic, so I can't share that with you. So then you have, this is WFLA, a Florida woman or Florida man, he gets home, right? He goes to the doctor, he comes home. This is in Charlotte County, Florida, goes outside, and he noticed clothing scattered all across his lanai. And then he found a naked woman in his pool. So he called the police. So when deputies arrived, the woman, Heather Kennedy, told them to leave her alone. She would not get out of the pool, nor would she get out of the pool to reclothe herself. So deputies eventually convinced her to get out of the pool and put her clothes back on. But then they tried to detain her and she resisted, trying to run away, which is always dumb from police. So they managed to subdue her, which I wonder how, and book her into the Charlotte County Jail. So now she faces charges for trespass and structure or conveyance and resisting an officer without violence. I mean, good heaven.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.